And the pitch to Jose, swung on and hammered deep to left. Down in the corner, this one is out of here. Just inside the foul pole and just over the 328 sign, Jose Bautista has hit number 11.
Jose Bautista with his 11th home run, part of a three-hit day for him. He drove in two of the Blue Jays' five runs, but the game ends in frustrating fashion, as with Yunel Escobar on second and Jose Bautista at first, nobody out, bottom of the ninth, down by a run against Frankie McFrank. The Blue Jays cannot push that tying run across. Edwin Encarnacion, J.P. Arencibia, Eric Thames all strike out, and the Blue Jays lose 6-5 to the Mets. I want to highlight a tweet that I got from @JacobSD weighing in on all this Twitterage about Edwin Encarnacion should have bunted or they should have pinch hit Omar Vizquel for him. And Jacob says, are you kidding, Mike? You almost always pinch hit for your second best hitter with your worst to give up an out. Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. Encarnacion has been the Jays' best hitter this season, beyond Yan Gomes. The next best hitter, the best hitter this month for the Blue Jays has been J.P. Arencibia. You let them try to win the ball game. A single ties the game. And I don't know why Yunel Escobar didn't steal second base. I mean, he's not a great base stealer, but Frank Francisco is just terrible at holding base runners. 14 out of 15 last year were successful stealing against him. I guess you don't want to take that chance and give up the tying run if it's Escobar. If it was Rajay Davis or Brett Lurie, Travis Snyder, then, you know, you send the runner and you move him into scoring position for Bautista, but then that at bat goes differently too, maybe. Who knows? But Escobar is just not a good base dealer. So I don't know that he should have gone there. And I don't know that it would have made a difference. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays have won 4 of 5 after losing, 4 of 5? So even Steven, 4 games over .500, and they take the series from the New York Mets, which is lovely in interleague. Jays talking it up to the top of the hour, and we're going to start with Danny in Scarborough, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Danny, just an electric atmosphere at the ballpark tonight. That come through for you?
Yeah, you know what? It's nice to see people going down to the yard. What do they have, 41,000 today?
Almost 42 tonight. Today, a lot of it had to do with the bobblehead, I'm sure.
A lot had to do with probably the long weekend, too. But, I mean, there's a little buzz about the team. People are excited. Today, a little bit frustrating to lose that one. But I got to tell you, Mike, you know, when I heard Thames was up, in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, okay, he got the two of them. Now Thames is up. I'm like, it's over. He's not going to be able to pull through. Long term, I don't know what's going on with Snyder. I mean, I'm not the GM. You're not the GM. But Thames, I don't know. Something about him is just not that. I don't see the development. I mean, I know you're big with the numbers and this and that, but, you know, give it to me in a snapshot. What do you think about this guy?
The numbers aren't very good. I mean, that's the thing, but we're talking about 40 games into a season. You know, you can't give up on a guy like Eric Thames yet, but he's not doing what you want from a corner outfielder. He's not getting on base well. He's not hitting for power well. He's not hitting for average. And it's too bad, but I mean, this is a guy you want to get a good long look at to see what you've got. He has succeeded very well at every level he's played at. But yeah, you know, I kind of see the same thing as you, but Travis Snyder is not an option right now. Travis Snyder may, they hope not, but may have to go back on the disabled list in AAA. He took himself out of a game 2-3 days ago with more wrist problems. So Snyder's not an option. You can't just call him up and flip the two of them. Ben Francisco doesn't seem to be an option now, as he came out of the game with a tightness in his hamstring. He may not have to go on the disabled list, but you know, maybe it's just a matter of getting more playing time for Rajay Davis, and it seems like that's going to be the case. but there's definitely something in there in Thames. I just don't know how long they can wait to see it when you're looking at trying to be in playoff contention. Thank you for the call. And I like Eric Thames. And he got a big RBI double for them in the eighth inning. But in the overall, he just hasn't been getting the job done like you would want from a corner outfielder. David is in Toronto listening on the flagship Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And David, it was, despite the loss, a pretty great day at the Dome today.
Yes, it was. It was fantastic. No, I just disagree with you earlier. I'm not trying to get an argument with you.
No, that's okay, but I don't understand. You have to explain to me why you would ask a power hitter who never bunts and when he does, doesn't do it well to drop down a bunt.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you. I didn't know the whole stats about his bunting.
He has no sacrifice hits in his career. Okay. And we remember last year. Was it last year? I think it was last year. It might have been the year before when he was asked to bunt and popped it up, didn't run, they let it drop into a double play. That's the only time I've ever seen Edwin try to bunt. I mean, I know that everybody thinks that it's a guaranteed move, but it's not.
It's not a guaranteed move. I understand he's a power hitter now, just recently, though, this year.
No, his whole career he's been a power hitter.
But what I was trying to think about was that, you know, like the objective of the game is really to tie it up more than anything, right?
Correct.
So you move them over to second and third, and then, you know, maybe if Thames could hit one out, you know, further out, then bang, then we tie it up.
Well, Bia and Stevia. But let me ask you this. You're right that the objective of the game is to at least tie it up in that situation. You have to ask me, you have to explain to me how letting one of your best, how making one of your best hitters get himself out intentionally helps with that.
Yeah, you got a point.
Right?
It could go either way.
No, anyway, it doesn't go either way. It doesn't.
We got a great team, good young team. It's only young season. I'm pretty sure we'll correct things. I like Farrell. He's a great manager, and I think we're going to do good this year, and I hope we make the playoffs.
Well, thank you, David. I appreciate that. And remember, too, all you frustrated fans out there, it's okay to be frustrated. This was a game, I'm not going to say necessarily there for the taking, but this is a frustrating kind of loss. If the season were to end right now, the Blue Jays would be in the playoffs. So let's not talk about how everything is doom and gloom. They just had a 4-game win streak. Things are very good in Blue Jays land. Hosni is in Mississauga listening on our flagship Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Hosni, what did you think of the electricity around this place today?
Hey, Mike, you know what? First of all, I want to congratulate you on a great show. I would not miss it for anything. It's always on, even at the beach, in the cottage, everywhere.
Great. So, thank you very much.
You're doing a great job. Keep it up. And I like the way you handle those yowls that talk nonsense. Thank you. But Mike, I have a couple of questions for you. I want your intake on it. And first one, we're talking about the young goals. You know, what do you think about having him now that Adam Lind is in AAA, playing space, put Edwin Encarnacion as the DH. He plays best at bat when he does not have to worry about his defensive game.
That's not true, though.
I agree.
That's not true.
It showed that in the beginning of the season, like he was in a tear when he was DHing. He gets that jitters.
He's actually hitting better as a first baseman this year than he is as a DH.
Is he?
Yes.
Well, you know, then because you have the stats. I don't have the stats.
Right. Because,
What do you think of this idea?
Well, it's an interesting thing, though. Like, I hear what you're saying. I don't think that Yan Gomes profiles well long-term as a first baseman in the major leagues as far as the bat goes. I mean, we've seen great stuff from him so far, but you know, the minor league track record is a .280 hitter with a .330 on base, which is fine, but it's not what you want at and it's better than what Adam Lind was doing, that's for sure, but it's not what you want at first base long term. And I think that the Blue Jays' long term hope for this year anyway is to have Vladimir Guerrero be here and be their designated hitter, and hopefully that happens sometime in the next couple of weeks, which means
what do you think of that, Mike? You know, it's scary thoughts. You know, like, we're gonna go through a trial and tribulation with Guerrero coming in and playing like every day type of thing.
Well, what's the difference between that and having Gomes in there every day?
Look at him. Like, I mean, in the three games, the kid proved that he can handle himself.
Right. It's four games. Vladimir Guerrero's going to the Hall of Fame. Yan Gomes has had a wonderful four games, but he has not performed like this at any level before. It's been a great four games, and everyone can have a great four games. And I don't know that Vladdy's going to hit the ground running and be great by any means, but he did hit 290 in the major leagues last year, and that was the lowest batting average of his career. So I think that when you're talking about who are you taking more of a chance on by letting him play every day, you're definitely taking way more of a chance on Yan Gomes than you are on Vladimir Guerrero.
Oh, okay. I hope you're right. I hope you're right, Mike. I hope you're right. The second thing, you know, what do you think about the Blue Jays situation in center and left field? We're having inconsistency there as far as the at-bat performance.
No, I don't think they're having inconsistency. I think they've been bad.
Or Colby Rasmus.
Yeah, I think, Rasmus hasn't hit. He's hitting about under 200 or close to it right now, though he broke an 0-for-20 rather nicely with a huge RBI single today. But my thought on Colby Rasmus is that his defense is good enough to keep his bat in the lineup whether he's hitting or not.
Oh, he's phenomenal in the outfield. I mean,
pardon?
He's phenomenal in the outfield.
Right, so that's good enough. Even if you're not hitting, if you're the only one who's not hitting, and you hit eighth or ninth, fine with me. I don't mind having Colby Rasmus in the lineup every day. Left field, we talked about with the last caller, and Eric Thames is going to have to pick it up if he wants to stay in the lineup. The same thing with Rajay Davis.
Yeah, if it is, I know that every day there's a different pack of players that come in and pick up the games, even today. But, imagine if this team, from 1-9, like the old 90s team, with Devon White and Carter and Pat Borders and Tony Fernandez and those guys, imagine if you had from 1-9, consistently every day.
I hate to tell you this, Hosni, because you're going to get upset.
Uh-oh, okay, go ahead.
This lineup's better than that lineup.
Oh, come on.
Pat Borders couldn't hit.
Well, he was the MVP. He was the MVP in the World Series.
Right, and I understand that you love tiny sample sizes and making great players. Pat Borders had a terrific 9 hits and 20 at-bats in a World Series in 6 games.
I thought that's what it took to make him the MVP.
Yeah, he was a World Series MVP. But when you look at 162 games in a full season, Pat Borders was a terrible hitter. Manny Lee was a terrible hitter, and he was a Blue Jays shortstop in one of the years that they won the World Series. So
I imagine Manny Lee being there at second base. Remember Manny Lee?
He was awful.
He could not hit a ball even if his life depended on it.
But you were just talking about how great the Blue Jays were 1-for-9 and he was in that lineup.
Yeah, but they had other 8 guys that, they can deliver the game every night.
Right. Hosni, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Thank you for putting a smile on my face. I like that. I like that. Yes. The Blue Jays had a guy with a .310 on base hitting in the middle of the order when they won the World Series. They had a catcher with an on base under .300. It's not like it was murderer's row up and down the lineup back then. But they had all the elements and they worked beautifully together and they won 2 World Series in a row and they were great. Paul is in Toronto listening on our flagship Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Paul, a frustrating loss to be sure, but feels like, what a game, what a crowd. It was a really fun day here.
Thanks for having me on, Mike. To hear that there's 41,000 strong down at the Dome on a cold Sunday afternoon like this, first off, it just makes me so proud of our fans being able to come out and support this team, and that's what they need. And really, I've heard previous callers mentioning about our hitting, but I truly feel like our hitting, we do not have a problem, especially now with Adam Lindh, who I'm sure that, you'll defend to the end, but he's no longer with us, and we have Brett Laurie coming back in starting tomorrow. And listen, sticks aren't our problem. But the biggest issue that I see with the Jays right now is that we need more pitching. And it's great that our young arms, and Dre Beck, and Hutchinson, and Alvarez, they're all sort of doing pretty well since, so far this season. But there's a guy named Roy Oswalt out there, and he's looking around for work.
He doesn't want to pitch for the Blue Jays.
Well, you know what? Who can say no to $28 million that Roger Clemens got? You know, the prorated amount. Now, he's just a name, Mike. There's other names that might be available. Hamels, Greinke. I just wanted to get your opinion on what you think about the Jays making a big play, a big push to get a bona fide ace to sort of stabilize our young pitching staff. And I'll hang up and I'll listen to your answers. Thanks.
All right. Well, I think it would be helpful. Certainly. I mean, anytime you can add a bona fide ace, you're doing yourself a favor, right? There's no question about that. But it's May 20th. Milwaukee started the day six games out. They're destroying Minnesota, so they're 5.5 games out. They're not trading Zach Greinke. The Phillies were over 500 going into today. It looks like, I don't know if they're final. Let me take a look. I know Atlanta won. Philly lost. They're five games out. They've won the division, what, 4 or 5 years in a row? They're not trading Cole Hamels so fast. And, you know, I understand that everybody thinks that these moves are really easy to make and that they're easy to make at this point in the season. And the truth is they're almost impossible to make at this point in the season. And they're even less possible now because of the extra wild card spot. But the only great player I ever remember being traded in May was Mike Piazza. And that's it. I can't remember any other superstar being traded in May. It doesn't happen. And those trades are not on the table. They're just not. Not for another month. Maybe two. George is in Toronto. George, you're on the Blue Jays Talk, listening on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What a day today at the ballpark, huh?
Yeah, actually, it was they had a lot of people down there. It was a good game, actually.
It was?
Yeah.
Everything about this afternoon was great, except for the fact that the Blue Jays lost.
Yep. One question for you.
Yeah.
I'm just curious why John Farrell keeps hitting Eric Thames either in the fifth or sixth spot in the lineup.
Well, I think it's because he's enamored of his power. He likes him as a hitter, and he prefers him to the guys who are hitting below him today. I mean, Ben Francisco, Colby Rasmus was 0 for 18 going into today's game. And Yan Gomes has had a great first two games, was 0 for 3 yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you would want Thames ahead of those guys.
Yeah, but even when Brett Laurier was in the lineup...
That's more because of the lefty-righty thing that John Farrell likes to do. He likes to balance and go left-hand, right-hand. But he's gotten out of that recently in the absence of Adam Lynn. So I think tomorrow we will probably see... Well, see, the thing is, too, if tomorrow he puts in Brett Laurier hitting sixth and Eric Thames hitting seventh, then he'll have five righties in a row, and he's not going to like that. So, I don't know. I think we're still going to continue to see Eric Thames probably hitting sixth for a while.
Yeah, but you have Colby Rasmus. He has at least five more RBIs.
Rasmus is one for his last 21.
Yeah, but he RBIs, does have more RBIs.
RBIs mean more about the people getting on base in front of you than the people getting on base, than you yourself.
Yeah, but...
You can't drive in a run if there's not someone on base in front of you unless you hit a home run.
Absolutely.
So the fact that Rasmus has more RBIs than Thames doesn't really mean much to me.
Okay. It's just that, you know, like, for a guy hitting in a... He is hitting in a either fifth or sixth spot.
He is hitting in an RBI spot. You're right. You're right.
And he just got his 10th RBI today.
Yes.
You know, and... can you explain?
And he's hitting .208 with runners in scoring position, or at least he was going into today.
Yeah.
And I can't explain that.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, 24 at-bats. And now he's had 25 at-bats, so now he's hitting .240 with runners in scoring position. So he got one hit, and his batting average went up 32 points. That's just the way it works. Really? I mean, that's all there is to it, is that's just the way it works. I believe firmly that hitters cannot control when they get their hits. if they did, then everyone would be batting 1,000 with runners in scoring position and never get any hits with nobody on base.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the kind of thing that will even out over time, and that his, by the time the season comes to an end, his batting average with runners in scoring position will be quite close to his batting average the rest of the time, which may mean he's due hopefully to go on a nice little run.
Yep. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, George. We'll sneak in one more. Steven is in Richmond Hill listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hello, Steven.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good. You got like a minute and a half.
I just wanted to say, I was at the game today. And
was it
so
not awesome at the game today?
It was so awesome to see everybody at the game, so much support. Even though they lost, they had a chance in the bottom of the ninth, but, you know, they had a great run in today's game. And I just wanted to ask you quickly, because Travis Snyder is one of my favorite players in the Jays system right now.
Mine too.
What do you think the Jays are going to give up on Eric Thames, you know, even shake up the lineup and put Rajai Davis in?
Well, I think that's pretty much what they've said, and that doesn't mean give up on it. People use give up on a little too easily, I think, and I don't think they've given up on Adam Lind, even though he's on outright waivers right now.
Wow.
But I think that Rajai Davis has earned himself some more playing time, although now, you know, he hasn't gotten a hit in a couple of games. I think that they could really use some steady, consistent is an overused word. I think they could use some real strong production in left field, and it's something that they haven't had in a long, long, long time, and it's not Thames, and it hasn't been Snyder, and Travis is hurt right now, and it hasn't been the guys before. If they could acquire a big bat, middle-of-the-order type, to play left field or to play first base and move Edwin back to DH, I think that would help this club a lot. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Appreciate all of them. And apologize to those of you to whom we could not get. We will. Blue Jays talk it up again tomorrow as the Blue Jays' week-long road trip begins in the St. Petersburg. Today, they lose to the New York Mets. But I'm not going to tell you how, because we've got an update coming, and then we'll take a look at the rest of the big leagues. It is the Blue Jays Radio Network. Back here at Rogers Center in the wake of a 6-5 loss, the Toronto Blue Jays falling to the New York Metropolitans. Let's take a look at what else went on around the major leagues of baseball today. And there was only one team in the American League East that won today. It was the Boston Red Sox. They beat the Philadelphia Phillies 5-1. Josh Beckett is 4-4, so the Red Sox, still in last place, pick up a game on everybody. The Yankees lost 5-2 to the Cincinnati Reds. The Rays lost 2-0 to the Atlanta Braves. The Baltimore Orioles had their win streak snapped. They lose 9-3 to the Washington Nationals. Steven Strasburg gets the win and hits his first home run and scores ahead of a two-run triple by Bryce Harper. So right now, everything's the same. It's the Orioles by 2 over Tampa, 4 over the Blue Jays, 5.5 over the Yankees, and the Red Sox are last 6.5 games back, and it's interesting to note, Baltimore went into today 27-14 and lost. The Blue Jays were 27-14 3 years ago, and then they went on a 9-game losing streak and wound up under 500 that season. Other finals today include the Miami Marlins beating Cleveland 4-3, Detroit beats Pittsburgh 4-3. Kansas City falls 2-0 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. The winning run scores on a John McDonald squeeze play. Right now in the bottom of the eighth, the Brewers are letting the Twins have it. 16-1 is the score. The Blue Jays hit the road for a week, and we will speak to you next with the Jays in St. Petersburg to take on the Tampa Bay Rays. First of a 3-game series starts tomorrow night. We're on at 7 o'clock Eastern for a 7:10 first pitch. Kyle Drabek taking on Jeremy Hellickson. Please, please tune in and join us. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Alan Ashby, Tom Young, Dylan Brown, Joe Sicilia, and Josh Goldsmith, I'm Mike Wilner. Good afternoon from Rogers Center.